do that, so I move it out of the way, okay? And secondly, you're thinking that's not Pastor Matt, and you are correct. I am better looking. I have a little bit more hair, and hopefully he doesn't listen to this on the website later. But continue to pray for them as they're gone. They have a lot on their plate that they're dealing with. Pastor Mark is praying and seeking God and his vision for us as a church. And Pastor Matt, as they're gone, dealing with grieving family and the loss of a loved one. And continue right now to keep praying for me. It's my first time preaching on Sunday morning, so I'm just a little bit nervous, but God is going to do it. And I've heard wise counsel from several people this morning, and it's all had one thing in common, that the gospel stands alone. Doesn't matter how much I mess up, God's word will go forth and will not return void. Amen? Amen. So we're going to look at a couple different things today. But how many of you are glad to be here today? Are you sure? Okay. Process that through your brain and your heart and then through your voice. Are you glad to be here today? Amen. Amen. All right. There you go. If you're not excited to be here, nobody's forcing you to be here. We want you to be here. God wants you to be here for the fellowship, to learn, for the edifying of the saints. Amen. And that's what we're going to do. So that video pretty much hits the nail right on the head, doesn't it? Our lives are busy, and sometimes we just need to slow down and be still and listen, breathe, praise his name, and know that he is God. And so we're going to do that right now. It's a little unorthodox, and you may or may not like me after we do this, but that's okay. I want you to pair up in twos or threes, groups of twos or threes, and I want you to share just some prayer requests. Maybe something's on your heart, and I want you guys to spend some time together, maybe the next 2, 3, 4 minutes, and just pray together. Can you do that? You guys are looking at me like, I don't know about this person sitting next to me. I don't know. All right, so go ahead and pair up. I'm going to come down here. There's a couple odd people, and we'll just do this here. Father, we just come before you as we finish up this time, as groups are still praying together, as they are opening and sharing their hearts with one another. Father, we thank you for that time that we have. And God, we ask that you will continue to be with us today, that you will be with your word as it's open, as we look at it, as we study it, as we see what you have for us. Father, we pray that you will just watch over us, that you'll guide us, and that everything that we do and say today will be honoring and glorifying to you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you for indulging me in that. I don't know about you, but it was good. Just take a minute and kind of rest in him with others and share your heart and continue to pray for those requests that you heard throughout the week. This morning, we're going to talk about something. Can you hear me now? And a lot of you probably have that old commercial running through your head where there's that Verizon guy and he's got the phone and he's like, can you hear me now? Good. Can you hear me now? Good. You know, and it just walks all over the place. And I don't know whatever happened to him. I think Dan might have got a hold of him. He was taking business away from the Bell. But anyway, can you hear me now? And you may think that that's a question from us to someone else. We're going to turn that and we're going to look. Why does God ask us that question? Can you hear me now? And so we're going to look at that. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 1. We're going to look at the fact of not only can you hear me, but are you even listening in order to be able to hear? Okay? So Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 is where we're going to read from. And we'll read the first 9 verses. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open up there. It will not be on the screen, so making you do all the hard work yourself, okay? It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. So it opens, wait, oh, we're going to stop. All right. Did I say something wrong? Okay. It opens up right away, and you see that there's a transition happening. There's change in somebody's life about to happen. There's change in the nation of Israel that's about to happen. It says, after the death of Moses. So there was something before, and now there's something going to happen after that. And we keep reading. It says, the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, of the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that ye may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So there's a lot that happens there. Jesus is talking to Joshua, and he's telling them all of this stuff. But the first thing I want to look at is this, is that there's the phrase that I was reading that said, Jesus said, and yours it may have the word spoke or something like that. It's the same word when you take it back to the original, amar, okay? I'm sorry, it's actually pronounced amer. So if you were to phonetically write it out, write the word A and then mayor, and there you go, you have it, A-mayor. Think about that just for a moment. The Lord, the creator of the universe, the Almighty, the great I am, Yahweh, Jehovah, the one that led them through the wilderness, is speaking to Joshua, and he's sitting there listening. The question I have for you is, if he was speaking to you, would you be able to hear him? Let's look at a couple other verses in the Bible that Jesus speaks and see what it has to say about. The first one's John 7:46. It says, "The officers answered, 'No one ever spoke like this man.'" So you have here the guards that were sent to go arrest Jesus. And when they come to Jesus, Jesus is preaching and teaching and he's talking to people. And I don't know about you, but it's kind of a weird circumstance, because if you were a Roman soldier or a guard sent with orders, you don't ever see where they had compassion and cared what was going on when they were going to carry out their orders, do you? They just went and did it without care of anybody else. And so they go, but Jesus is preaching and teaching, and they step back in the background and they just listen to what Jesus is saying. And then through the words that Jesus speaks, it doesn't tell us if they made any decisions. All it says is that they go back knowing that they'll be in trouble. It says that they go back and say, "But you don't understand. Nobody's ever spoken like this guy before." Chapter 8, verse 11. It's a familiar story. A woman is caught in adultery and thrown at Jesus' feet. And Jesus doesn't say a word to any of the guys, doesn't say a word to the woman. He just gets down in the sand and starts drawing, doodling. Who knows? It doesn't tell us what he writes. I can only imagine that he's down there writing words, and he's listing the sins of all of these guys, maybe, that threw this woman at his feet. Who knows? And then he says the phrase that probably most of us know, "Ye without sin cast the first stone." And so then the woman looks up, and we're only going to read verse 11, but he asks, you know, "Where are your people that condemn you?" And she answers in verse 11, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go from now on and sin no more." So the words that he spoke to her as she was vulnerable, as she was listening, as she was open and hearing his words, he spoke with compassion and love and understanding, but with a stern tone as well. "Listen, there's nobody here condemning you, but go and don't do it again. You don't find your identity in that. You find your identity in me." And so he speaks to her. Matthew 14, verse 27. Background on this is, Jesus is walking on the water. The disciples are in the boat. Verse 27. It says, "But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid.'" Because these grown men that were fishermen that lived on the sea and by the boat, they were little schoolgirls, no offense girls, yelling and screaming and scared, thinking that it's a ghost out on the water. But yet, just through a few words, Jesus speaks to them and says, "Take heart, it's just me. Don't be afraid. There's no need for you to be afraid." See, there's a calming in his voice. There's a healing. There's compassion. There's an assurance in his voice. The Bible tells us, and Jesus says, that "I know my sheep," and we are his sheep. "I know my sheep, and my sheep know my voice." Do you know Jesus' voice today? Do you know what it would sound like even if he were to audibly speak to you? I mean, we know that by prayer and reading God's word, he communicates to us through his word and through the Holy Spirit. But when you read, when you listen, do you hear him? Do you hear him? "Can you hear me now?" he's asking you. Let's take a look at that just a minute. Most of you probably have voices that you can identify without even seeing the person that's speaking. True? As a kid, your mom, you probably knew your mom's voice. Maybe you were outside playing and mom was the one that either yelled your nickname that embarrassed you in front of all your friends for you to come home and eat dinner, and you knew that was mom. Or maybe she had this whistle, or maybe it was dad. But it doesn't matter who it is, you recognize their voice without even seeing them or knowing who it is. Through the busyness of whatever you're doing, you know who that is. Whether you're with your siblings or you're goofing off and you hear that stern, you know how your mom clears her throat. And it scares you to death, right? And if any of you grew up in church, maybe you like sat in front of mom and she did that. And then all of a sudden you like sat up straight because you knew the next thing coming was maybe a flick across the back of the head or something. And you didn't want that to happen. Not in front of your friends. My mom's, she's not here, so I can say it, but she's in Iowa with my sister. It's one of my niece's birthdays. So she's like, I'm listening online, so she'll hear it anyway. But hers was like, she would put her arm around you just like she was holding you, but she knew right where that pressure point was. So she was getting your shoulder, and man, it hurt so bad. But anyway, you just know. You know something's coming. Maybe it's a best friend. Girls are just infamous for this. You can be on the other side of the room and you hear one of your girlfriends and they may say, they may just call out your name and all of a sudden there's this high-pitched squeal as you both run to the middle to meet because you see your friend. Guys, we're just like, hey, what's up, man? You know, and then you casually, you don't want to be too cool and you just go over and talk to them. But you recognize the tone. You recognize the way that they speak to you. You recognize their voice. The list can just keep going on. For parents, you know when somebody's screaming mom, you know if it's your kid or not. Even though there's 50 other moms standing around, you know if it's your kid. And so you know your dog's bark. I don't know. You know voices. That's the point I'm trying to get across. You know voices. But the question I want to ask you is this. As you're making your list of voices that you recognize and voices that you listen to and that you hearken your spirit to, would the Lord's voice make that list? Do you know what it sounds like? Do you know what it feels like for him to speak to you? Would he make your list? You see, we live busy, busy, busy lives. How many of you in here do not live a busy life? One junior high? All right. One junior high or a high schooler, okay. Get ready. The storm's coming, all right? So, it happens to all of us. And I can only tell you about me. I'm married. I have three kids. I have a job. I am blessed to be able to serve here. I go to school full time, and it's busy. You get busy, and you're like, how in the world can I do? I need 50 hours in the day. I think I heard Jeff say that on Wednesday. You know, I don't want 24-hour days. I want 50-hour days, and then maybe I might be able to get everything done. Maybe. The point is that we're busy. We live lives that, you know, whether it's church, school, sports, family, there's a multitude of different things that are taking up our time, that are calling our time. And we're going to refer to those things as voices in your life, things that are calling you to them, okay? So we're going to refer to those as that. So you have a lot of different voices. I'm not saying you're schizophrenic. I'm not saying that you have these voices in your head talking to you. I'm saying you have a lot of things in your life that are calling for your attention. Can we agree on that? All right, good. If not, I'm going with it anyway. In Joshua's life, the Lord spoke to him and told him, listen, I'm going to be with you. So now that we can agree upon the fact that we have busy lives, that we all have these things in our life, you have Joshua, who was the understudy of Moses, who had a nation of people. At this time, probably millions of people that they were leading, and Moses, and they're leading them through the wilderness as they whine and gripe and complain because they didn't listen to Caleb and Joshua in the first place when they said, let's take the land. Instead, they listened to the majority of people that were naysayers and said, there's no way we can do it. And Caleb and Joshua are saying, you don't know my God. We can do it. And so they wander around, and God's promise to Joshua was that he'll be able to see that land. And then Moses dies. And Joshua, I've never been a ruler of a nation of people before. If you have, then you can relate with this. But he was probably pretty busy. He probably had some struggles going on. He probably had things calling his attention, whether it's something going on over here, putting out a fire and helping with this over here. And he was busy. But yet God spoke to him and he said, "Hey, listen, Moses is dead, man. It's on you now." And guess what? Just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Can you imagine how that felt to Joshua? Seeing and going through everything that he went through with Moses, and seeing how God was with Moses, and hearing those words from God, "Hey, listen, I'm going to be with you." Did it make it any easier as a fleshly human? I don't know, but I'm pretty sure in that moment it probably gave him some reassurance and some strength. He says, "I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to give you success. And here's the way that you obtain this. Here's what you do." And he says, "I want you to cross the Jordan." Right? If you look up the Jordan, it's not that huge of a river. But at this time that this happened was in their rainy season. And in their rainy season, from bank to bank, it can be over a mile wide. Okay? So if you're on one side of it, and he's like, "Hey, I want you to take these people over there and cross the Jordan." And they look, and he's thinking, "Man, can we just wait a little bit until the water goes down? I hear you, God. I'm listening to what you're saying, but are you sure you want to do it right now?" That was another obstacle or something in his life that he had to deal with at the same time of taking over this nation, but yet he was still listening and he could hear what God said. He tells us to take courage, push everything else aside, and listen to him. I want to look at verse 9. There's a great exclamation here. It says, "Have I not commanded you?" Can hear a little sarcasm in God's voice as he says this to him. It's a rhetorical question. Have I not commanded you? Like, get with the program, man. I'm telling you, I'm going to be with you. You're the man. You're the leader. I'm with you. Be courageous. Be strong. Let's do this thing together. By making that statement, Jesus is showing his authority to Joshua. He's saying, it's not about you. It's not about how good you are or what you can do for the nation, but it's about what I can do through you. So he says, be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. So a couple questions for you. Are you being strong and courageous? If this were Jesus speaking to you, you're like, "Yeah, but I'm not trying to lead a nation." No, you're not, but maybe you're trying to lead a family. Or maybe you're trying to lead a team at work. Or maybe you have a personal situation that you're trying to go through with God's help. And he's like, "Listen, be strong and be courageous. Because just like I was with Moses, I'm with you." So whatever it is in your life, are you being strong? Are you being courageous? How about this? Are you afraid? Are you dismayed? Are you saying, "God, I'm not too sure about this. I don't quite know." If you're either one of those things, if you're not being strong and courageous, or if you are being afraid and dismayed, you have to ask yourself the same question. And that's why. Why are you not being strong and courageous? Or why are you being afraid? Folks, the Lord that's not just a term. We'll just stop right here and I'll kind of chase this trail a minute. We say the name Jesus, we say Lord, we say Yahweh, we say all of this stuff just off the roll of our tongue. But yet when you study history, they wouldn't even write the name because they were unworthy to speak the name of Jesus. That's how powerful and almighty he is. And yet we take it for granted, and it's just another word for us. Do we really understand the power and the weight that is behind his name? When we say the Lord, is it just two words to you? Or does it hit you like a ton of bricks? Like, that's him. He's my provider, my sustainer. He's my everything. When you think about him and your relationship with him, the Lord is with you, back on track. Wherever you go, period. No questions. He is with you wherever you go. He says, I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. It's not a conditional thing. He doesn't say, if you do steps 1, 2, and 3, and then subpoints A, B, and C, I'll be with you. He just says, hey, Joshua, just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And because I'm with you, here's some guidelines you can do to make sure that you obtain this success that I have lined out for you. Don't turn to the right or left of the law that Moses gives to you, that he gave to you. It had no bearing on if God was with you. He didn't say, but if you do turn to the right or to the left, I won't be with you at that time, but when you come back to doing what you're supposed to do, I'll meet back up with you. He's with us always, period, wherever we are. In the Message translation of the Bible, in that particular verse, it uses this phrase, I won't give up on you. For some of us, maybe that hits us a little harder. I won't give up on you, rather than saying, I'm not going to leave you. I won't give up on you implies that there's going to be times that we want to give up on ourselves, that others have given up on us, that the world has turned against us. And in the midst of this time that God is trying to speak to us, he says, listen, I'm not giving up on you. You're mine. I will not. I am ever, never, ever, ever, ever going to give up on you. So are you struggling right now? Are you wanting to give up on yourself? Whatever that situation is that keeps popping in your mind, are you like, God, I'm just about done with this. I don't know how much more I can take. Are you giving up? Are you at the brink where you're about to give up? You're thinking, why in the world do I even keep trying, God? I keep trying to beat this sin. I keep trying to overcome this sin in my life, but I just can't do it. Are you trying to do it on your own? Or have you given it to God so that he can use you to beat it? I'm here to tell you that if you're thinking that way, if you're on the brink of giving up, or if you're struggling with should I keep going or should I continue to press on, we need to stop that kind of thinking. That kind of thinking should not be in us. Should we keep going? Am I strong enough? Just stop. He's saying this. I love you. I'm here for you. I won't give up on you. I'm not leaving. You can't shake me. I am the unshakable. His name is I Am. So what do we need to do? We need to do what he told Joshua. We need to get up. We need to move forward. We need to press on, knowing that he is there with us and for us. Can you hear him yet? Is he speaking to you yet? Or is that junk in your life still clogging up your ears to be able to hear what he's trying to tell you? Because there's nothing I can do, there's nothing anybody else can do to get that stuff out of the way. You got to say, you know what, God, this stuff is not as important as you. I want to listen to you. What are you trying to tell me to do in this situation? With all the voices in our head and the things in our life that are calling our attention, pulling on us, wanting us to do this or do that, it's important that right now you make that decision in your life to say, you know what, none of that is as important as me paying attention and being willing to hear the Lord's voice. He's saying, hey, can you hear me now? Are you listening yet? Or do I need to smack you around a little bit more? He'll do it. He knows what it takes to get your attention. A lot of us are dealing with stuff. A lot of us are struggling with things. A lot of us are going through something in our life that you're thinking, okay, I'm just not sure about this, God. Whatever it is that's clogging you, clogging up your life to where you can't hear the Lord, let's deal with that today. Let's get rid of it today. Maybe what's clogging your way is that you don't have a relationship with Jesus. If you're here today, I'm going to tell you this, and if you hear me say this and you don't like this, then it just puts an exclamation point on this statement. There's only two types of people sitting in here today. Or I shouldn't say sitting, but there's only two types of people gathered in this place today. Imperfect people and Jesus. We're all imperfect. We all have our faults, but He is perfect. He is what you need. With whatever it is, whatever the situation is, it's Him. So if you don't have a relationship with Him, that's okay. At one point in time, I didn't either. And then I made that decision to have a relationship with Him. He sent His Son Jesus to live a perfect life, die on a cross, rise again 3 days later, so that we can have a right relationship with Him. If you've accepted Him as Savior already today, what's the Lord trying to tell you? What's He saying to you? What's He saying? Listen, you need to move this out of the way so that you and I can hear each other. The Bible says this, that we are bought with a price. And we're not our own. But yet we continue to jam our lives full of everything else that is not God, that is not of Christ, and we keep pushing Him further and further away, the one that bought us, the one that paid the price for us, we keep pushing Him to the side. And again, like I said, with using the name Jesus or the name the Lord or Yahweh, it doesn't quite hold that weight. And so it doesn't quite hold the weight when we say He paid the price for you. If you think about it this way, real quickly, I'll just explain this to you. You've probably heard it before, but I'll explain it again. Maybe just put it in a little different light. Jesus was tried 9 different times, and they could find no fault in Him, right? And then finally, the Romans are like, we got to do something. And so they are going to crucify Him. The people are yelling and screaming. They want Him crucified. And in the Jewish law, you could only lash somebody 40 times. But in the Roman law, there was no law like that. There was no number. There was no limit to how many times somebody could get lashed. And so if you know anything about a professional lasher, I know there's another word for it, but that's the word I'm going to use because I like that word. They had this custom tool that they used. And so you have Jesus, and He's tied up to this post. And he's stripped naked in front of everybody. And he's already been slapped around. And he's been beaten. And before this, you'll remember He was in the garden. And He was praying for the Father's will. And He sweat blood. And you think, is that possible? Yes, scientifically it is possible, because if somebody blushes, it's these little pockets in your face that get red and they fill up with blood, and it is possible for those to burst and blood to come out of your head, okay? And so Jesus was so intense that this happened. And after that happens, if something like that ever happens, your face becomes really sensitive. And so his face is sensitive already, and people are smacking him around, and it hurts just even more. And so fast forward, he's tied up to this post, and you have this professional person that's going to whip him, and they have different lengths of these tassels on this whip, a custom grip that specially fits his hand so it's not going to come out. And these short ones, here's how they do it. They stand close to begin with, and they have these short ones where there's like little pebbles and rocks and stuff tied to it, and they just take it and start out with these little quick short flips of the wrist, and these little pebbles and stuff just start hitting their back and whipping around the front. And it just, what that does is it doesn't break the skin, but it just kind of pelts it and hits it, and then you start swelling up. If you've ever seen a dead fish on the lake, it's really bloated, right? And so that's what it does to your body. It just starts for you to bloat. And then as he steps back and starts doing a little longer strides, he has longer whips on there that have pieces of glass and broken pottery and things that when he flips his wrist and catches the skin or flips it around him and then gives it that yank back, it just catches on to that bloated, swollen skin and just rips into it and rips it off with each lash for you and for me. We're bought with a price. He didn't spend $5 at Walmart. The Bible tells us that he was unrecognizable. There's no limit. They just kept going. We're not our own. So why do we keep living life like we're our own? Why aren't we listening to what he has to say to us? And so then after they beat him, they take him off of that post and they put a crossbeam on him. And I can't help but think, okay, with every hit of the whip and every gruesome, painful step that he took from then on out to get to Calvary, was my name running across his mind? Was your name on his mind? Knowing that this is worth it all, for that low-down, dirty sinner that is going to hate me and curse my name eventually at some point in their life and turn their back on me, I'm doing it for them. Because I love them so that they can have the chance to accept me as Savior and have that right relationship. You see, Joshua didn't have an easy road ahead of him. There were conditions that he had to follow. He was following the footsteps of a great leader, Moses. So he had that hanging over his head. People were like, yeah, we'll love you if you're like Moses. I don't know. People are like that. But the Lord spoke to Joshua and he said, listen, I'm with you. I will always be with you. I love you. I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to give you what you need. He's saying the same thing to us. If you're here and you don't have a relationship with you, he's saying the same thing that he said to me when I was 17 years old. I love you. I'm there for you. I want you to accept this gift of salvation. I want us to stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning as the musicians come. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you that we can take little truths out of this, that you spoke and things happened. God, you're speaking to us right now. And we have to say, okay, What is it that you're saying, and how can I take that and apply it to my life? How can I use that to be a better servant of you? Or God, I don't have a relationship with you. How can I do that? So, Father, we pray that you lead each individual in this place this morning. Let us push that junk to the side and listen to what you have to say to us. We ask it in Jesus' name.